because he didn't tell our writer friend his real name. Did you read the bit at the end? Angua read at the end of the text. Perry, the captain threatened and harangued me after the recruits had gone. Alas, I had no time to fish for the manacle key in the privy. Please let the prince know where they are soonest. WDW. Looks like William didn't take to him either, she said. I wonder why the prince was out with a scouting party. You said he was an arrogant son of a bitch, said Vimes. Maybe he just wanted to pop across and see if his aunt was still breathing. His voice trailed off. Angua looked at Vimes's face, which was staring through her. She knew her boss. He thought war was simply another crime, like murder. He didn't much like people with titles, and regarded being a duke as a job description rather than a lever to greatness. He had an odd sense of humour, and he had a sense for what she thought of as harbingers, those little straws in the wind that said there was a storm coming. In the nuddy, he chuckled. Could have slit their throats. Didn't. They took their boots away and left them to hop home in the nude. The squad, it seemed, had found a friend. She waited. I feel sorry for the Borogravians, he said. Me too, sir, said Angua. Oh, why? Their religion's gone bad on them. Have you seen the latest abominations? They abominate the smell of beets and people with red hair. In rather shaky writing, sir. And root vegetables are a staple here. 3 years ago, it was abominable to grow root crops on ground which had grown grain or peas. Vimes looked blank, and she remembered that he was a city boy. It means no real crop rotation, sir, she explained. The ground sours. Diseases build up. You were right when you said they were going mad. These commandments are dumb, and any farmer can see that. I imagine people go along with them as best they can, but sooner or later you either have to break them and feel guilty, or keep them and suffer. For no reason, sir. I've had a look around. They're very religious here, but their gods let them down. No wonder they mostly pray to their royal family. She watched him stare at the piece of pigeon post for a while, then he said, How far is it to Plots? About 50 miles, said Angua, adding, As the wolf runs, maybe 6 hours. I can leave right away. Good. Buggy'll keep an eye on you. Little Henry is going to hop home, or meet one of his patrols, or an enemy patrol, whatever. But the midden is going to hit the windmill when everyone sees that picture. I bet De Word would have let him out if he'd been nice and polite. That'll teach him to meddle with the awesome power of a fair and free press. He sat upright and rubbed his hands together like a man who meant business. Now, let's get that pigeon on its way again before it gets missed, eh? Get Reg to lurch along to where the Times people are staying and tell them their pigeon flew in the wrong window. Again. That was a good time, Polly remembered. They didn't go down to the river docks. They could see there was no boat there. They hadn't turned up, and the boatman had left without them. Instead, they crossed the bridge and headed up into the forests, with Blouse leading the way on his ancient horse. Maledict went on ahead, and Jade brought up the rear. You didn't need a light at night when a vampire led the way, and a troll at the rear would certainly discourage hangers-on. No one mentioned the boat. No one spoke at all. The thing was, Polly realised, that they were no longer marching alone. They shared the secret. That was a huge relief, and right now they didn't need to talk about it. Nevertheless, it was probably a good idea to keep up a regular output of farts, belches, nose-pickings and groin-scratchings just in case. Polly didn't know whether to be proud that they'd taken her for a boy. I mean, she thought, I'd worked hard to get it right. I mastered the walk. Except, I suppose, what I really did was mistress the walk. Ha ha ha. I invented the fake shaving routine, and the others didn't even think of that. I haven't cleaned my fingernails for days, and I pride myself on being able to belch with the best of them. So, I mean, I was trying. It was just slightly annoying to find that she'd succeeded so well. After a few hours of this, when true dawn was breaking, they smelled smoke. There was a faint pall of it among the trees. Lieutenant Blouse raised a hand for them to halt, and Jackram joined him in whispered conversation. Polly stepped forward.
Permission to whisper too, Sarge. I think I know what this is.
Jackram and Blouse stared at her. Then the sergeant said, All right, Perks, go and find out if you're right, then. That was an aspect that hadn't occurred to Polly, but she'd left herself open. Jackram relented when he saw her expression, nodded to Maledict and said, "Go with him, Corporal."